Father, we want to thank you this morning. We bless you for giving us life, for this opportunity. We ask that you have your own way among us as we continue to bury our heads in your word and saturate our hearts, Lord, with your spirit. Lord God Almighty, we ask that your word will bring us an entrance into salvation. Your word will bring us entrance into understanding. Your word will bring us entrance into life. We ask that, Father, we will gain understanding. You will empower us. You will change and transform our ministries and our callings. Our functionality will be heightened. Lord, we shall become more powerful tools in your hand. We pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, you are our help. Oh Lord, you are our help. Rabako. Somebody just pray in the spirit with me. Labrahadago. Ayabahako. Zabrahadabako. Shadadabada. Pray in the spirit with me. Labahako. Barabashabadadaba. Ayabrahagado. Bazadadabako. Jabadada. Ayabahako. Rabadaba. Shebededeba. Ayanda dabako zebrahagado zebrahanda dabako dedebeyaba ayanta dadaba shododobo zebrahanda dabako zebededeba ayanta dadabako zebrahagada daba zebededebako ayanta dadaba zebregada daba zobodobo jakataya ayako zebrahagada daba zegededebe Ayanta dodobo zikete dedebo zaborokoto zabrahagada Ayanto bodobo shabadadabako zabrahadadaba. I want you to pray and ask the Lord, open my eyes, open my ears, fill me with your spirit. Labrahagadabo shabadaba Ayanto boroko zabrahadadaba zebededebako Ayanta dadadaba zabododobo shadadabaka dodobo Arabahasute dedebe yabadadabako Lezuminako sabrandedebe. Oh Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you all the praise. Okay, so it's been some weeks now. We've been talking about equipped for the work of ministry. Now, let me first of all issue this disclaimer. By God's grace, I can start off series and it can continue for many, 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 many months. Not because I want to, but somehow as I teach, layers begin to peel off the very skin of what is being taught, and I'm brought into some depth, or let me say we are brought into some further depth beyond what we would have thought we actually looked for. So as we journeyed through these teachings, we've heard a lot, and some weeks back we started talking about Philippians chapter 3. Now today I want to just do well in the next 30 minutes or so and try to close off on Philippians chapter 3 by looking at certain key principles that must govern your call. Each and every one of us will establish that you are not ordinary. Each and every one of us, and I want to take the opportunity, let me welcome those online, those following us online and whoever is watching this even now. I want to say God bless you for connecting to this broadcast, and I want to say that the Lord show himself to you. The Lord show himself great to you. The Lord show himself great to you. Now, so we've been going through this, and so if you ask me to entitle what I'm talking about in Philippians chapter 3, I may call it ministerial attitude. Ministerial attitude. In fact, I have a whole set of teachings there that is on ministerial attitude. How do we conduct ourselves as ministers of God? Ministers of God to mean every one of us have a call. You who is sitting here, you are called of God. You may be called to be in the marketplace. You may not be a preacher of the word like I'm doing right now. You may be called to be in the marketplace at the same time to be a preacher of the word this way. You may also be called into some specialized areas like engineering, still in the marketplace. You may be called as a prophet. You may be called as an apostle. You may be called as an evangelist. You may be called as a teacher. You may be a teacher of the word of God, or you may be a teacher in the classroom where you are molding lives and shaping lives and shaping minds and filling the buckets of the minds of people with the requisite knowledge to allow them to be able to realize their full potential and capacity. In whatever way that you function, you are called. You are called into the service of the Lord. And the Bible said, now there's a guy in the Bible, he's called David. There's a guy in the Bible, he's called David. And David is called into three areas. David is what we call, is it PPK? Prophets, priests, and king. David was called into three major areas. He was a prophet, he was a priest, he was a king. Now, he was the only king in the Old Testament who functioned in this kind of structure. So for all of us sitting here, you may either be called into two folds, you may be called into three folds, or it could be one. Depending on what you decide to focus your energy, your drive, your attention on. So it's important. One of the most powerful prayers that you can pray is a prayer of discovery of your own self. What I've discovered over the years as I've been teaching the word of God, there are many people that draw close to us, listen to what we teach, and when they get an introduction to themselves, they take to flight. They take to flight away from their selves. It appears as though people prefer to be massaged, to be babied. It appears that there is a certain pervaded type of Christianity that this butter my bread, sugar my cocoa Christianity, I call it. This Christianity that is all about me, I, and my blessing, and not necessarily discovering your true call, your true potential in God, and fully living it. The Bible says, and David, when you read the book of Acts, and David served his generation, and he slept with his fathers. And how did David serve his generation? He was a king. Today, you could call him a president, a prime minister of a nation. He was a king, and the Bible said he served his generation, and David served his generation in the Lord. So when people do not become patient to embrace that call and to understand that wherever I find myself, whatever I am doing, so long as it is not a destruction of human life, and I have truly discovered that this is what God has purposed for me to do, and I do it diligently, I do it wholeheartedly, I do it passionately, I give myself, I sell myself to it, to wholly sold, completely sold out. Paul tells Timothy, says, give thyself wholly, give yourself wholly to it. And these are the matters that we are discussing. The kind of mindset, the kind of attitude that must be at work in us, that will allow us to give ourselves wholly to everything that God have called us into. So the question you need to ask yourself is, have I discovered this call? Have I discovered this call? It's a very good place to start from. Have I discovered this call? I put on my status yesterday, I said, write down your whys, because they will motivate you. Write down your why, because it will motivate you. You need to write down your what. Why am I here? Your what. And I think it's some series I've done some time past. Why am I here? Why am I here? Very good teachings that I will encourage people to go back to. What am I here doing? Where am I going from here? Those are realities that must be embraced, that changes the way we live.
Okay, so we got into Philippians chapter 3, and I'm just going to quickly read through Philippians chapter 3 from the verse. Let me do this. Where are you? Good. Let's go. Great. So I'm going to read from the verse 7. However, for us to gain a very good background, I think it is important that we do not just even start from the verse 7. We back off and understand Paul's mindset. Now, what was Paul saying here? Paul was speaking about the choice between where he was and the newfound love and the newfound ultimate love of his life, and that thing is a thing that is going to possess him the rest of his life. That is having discovered Jesus. Paul talked from Paul talked from the verse right from the verse 1. Let's just read from the verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord for me to write same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. So Paul is simply saying that if you hear the same teachings over and over again, if you read the same material over and over again, if you read the same letter over and over again, don't consider it as tedious. I think there is a spirit in the atmosphere that makes people feel, okay, this teaching, I've heard it 101 times and all of that. But I know this one, you've not heard it 101 times. But we need to have an attitude of heart that allows us to continue to engage that thing we have heard even 20 years as fresh. We must hear God afresh in that very old message. So Paul says it must not be considered tedious. The verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. So Paul is talking about evil workers and he refers them as dogs. There's no conversation here about that. At the moment, beware of mutilation. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. The original translation is who worship God in spirit. It tells you who we are in our state of life. It says rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now this is where we start from. Rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. The only confidence and consolation we can ever have is that we would have discovered Christ. We would have discovered our call, and that our consolation is never going to be in our education. Our consolation is never going to be in necessarily our training, our special skills and our abilities, but that ability must be submitted to God's grace. So Paul is going to talk about his status now. He says, though I also, do not be confident in the flesh, but when you consider the things of the flesh, I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I should be the one boasting about the things of the flesh, the possessions of the flesh, the opportunities that are in this world. I should be the one boasting about it. It says, I am circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, this guy is top notch. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, I am a Pharisee. I am a Pharisee. Concerning the law, I am a Pharisee. I have a very high ranking status. But something is going to shift in his life. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, this is the guy's status. So we're talking about an attitude that we must possess that will help us in fulfilling our calling, our destiny, our purposes. There has to be an abandonment of the things of the flesh. Spread it broadly. I mean, apply it broadly. The things of the flesh can be anything. Some people have confidence in their status and their money, and they have no regard for their calling. Their boast. I remember I met somebody in Israel, and he says, me, I'm a very proud person. And he has money. He says, I am a very proud person. I am a very proud person. When I'm using something, I don't like anybody to use that type of thing to. That thing does not fulfill calling. Oh, me, I am from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In fact, concerning the law, I actually teach it. So what is it that you can teach me? I know it all. These are the issues. Spread out the issues of the flesh broadly. Even concerning serving God. Oh, do you know how we have served God? Where were you? That kind of attitude. It doesn't fulfill calling. Now let's start reading from the verse 7. And I'm reading the NIV. It says, the verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable. You know the things we've read about already, the things of the flesh. So consider them. Consider your education, consider your status, consider your opportunities, consider your influence, consider your money, consider your sinful life. It says that all these things I thought in my mind, I thought these things were so valuable. But now I consider them, and the word consider is hegiomai in the Greek. It says, I consider them, I hegiomai them worthless because of what Christ has done. Now let's understand the context in which Paul is applying this. Paul is applying this within the context of discovering Christ and the knowledge of the law. The gap that is brought between the knowledge of the law and Christ. Paul is talking about a shift from one kingdom to another. Paul is talking about a certain status, an old status to a new status. We have to understand this. We are trying to derive principles from the Word of God that will empower us to be able to live our lives forward in fulfilling our calling. These are the principles we are trying to discover. These are the principles we are trying to discover. And we are using Christ as that central theme, the discovery of Christ as that central theme to be that I have discovered my calling. I've discovered my purpose. I've discovered who I am. And if I've discovered who I am, what is the current position that I must assume? What is the mindset? Now, what is a mindset? But now the question is, what is a mindset? A mindset is a set of conditions that informs your responses and attitude to life. For example, if there should be a scream right now, fire, 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 what would be your reaction? Your reaction is to run for safety. It's a mindset. A mindset is a belief system. So we are talking about the mindset that must govern our calling and our attitude. Because sometimes people frustrate the call of God upon their own lives, not because there is necessarily any demon that is fighting them, but it's because of the kind of mindset that they have. For example, let's say you are leading a people, but you do not believe in any of them to possess capacity to have delegated authority. Let's say you are leading a people. You do not believe that these people, if I leave them, even if let's say it's church, I do not believe that if I leave them, they can teach, they can lead a prayer, they can do all of that. So what will happen is that I will have to be doing everything. I have become a eunuch. I have no capacity to birth children. I'm leading people in the office. I believe that they do not have the capacity to be able to execute. And so what will happen is that I will undermine them. It informs my attitude, my mindset, my worldview, the way I view life. The mindset becomes the lens through which, the goggles through which you look at life, you look at people, even the Word of God. Now you would see through the Word of God that the Word of God clearly mentions certain things, but you will rather disbelieve it because inside you, in your mind, you believe that it should be this way. And so you'll be reading your own interpretation, your own meanings into the Word of God. And the same thing applies to life. So one of the major problems that we have in this world is our mindset. Paul said, I once thought these things were valuable. Going after the church and persecuting them and fighting people in the name of God, I thought this was the most important call of my life that I have to do. I thought that this is what I have to be fulfilling. Fighting everybody, dragging them from the synagogue and taking them to the marketplace, crucifying and beating and killing and stoning and burning is the right thing to do. I have thought that this attitude of life is just what it is. That if I can have multiplicity of women is the standard. I thought all of this was valuable. If I can continue to just live this life and believe that just this life is what it is, this is valuable. In fact, this is it. I am living the life. Paul says, I thought these things were valuable. I just took time to elaborate the issues of mindset. It says, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider, hegemony them, worthless. Now think of that word, worthless. If something is worthless, you keep that into you. You discard it. You throw it away. It says, I consider them, hegemony them, worthless because of what Christ has done. 8. Yes, everything else is worthless. Now this guy is putting things on a scale. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else is worthless. How or what is your attitude towards your calling? How much time do you invest? Do you invest into your calling? How much time do you invest into your calling? How much time do you invest into your calling? How much time do you invest into reading, studying, researching concerning your calling? How much time do you invest into your business, trying to find out how you can do this thing differently? How much time? How much time, what level of seriousness do you attach to your calling? You are a footballer, but you have hung your boots in your room and you are sleeping. How much time do you invest into this? It says that compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for his sake, I have discarded everything else. Everything else. Please, you have to begin to note what everything else may be in your life. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, today you are fasting and you are going to be praying. And one of the prayers you're going to pray is that, Lord, anything. Bible says that if my right hand will not allow me to enter into, you know, are you with me? Are you with me? If my right hand will not allow me to enter into the kingdom, what will I do? You have to cut it off. So I use that scripture to tell the person, you have to pray and cut off your right hand, or you take off your left eye, or you take off your right ear, or you remove your right toe. You have to pray that everything else that is not designed or constituted in your original calling, that have come to find its way into your world and attach itself to you, that thing must be discarded. That thing must be pushed back. That thing must be considered worthless. Sometimes it could be friends. Sometimes it could be friends. Instead of spending time with yourself, your calling, to develop yourself, you may end up spending time with your friends. And that time you will never get back again. Instead of spending hours, for example, you have received a prophecy that you are going to be a prophet. You cannot just wake up one day and then it will happen. You have to invest time, fasting, prayer, reading, researching, listening, watching certain videos. I sent a video to Albert. Albert, I sent you a video yesterday. Did you watch that video? You watched that video? Were you able to watch it? It's a short video. And this guy heard about forex trading. He heard about forex trading, so he decided to get into it. When he got into it, he realized that the thing was tougher than before. He said, what? So what did he do? He locked himself up for about 2 years. It doesn't mean he didn't step out, but people literally didn't see him for months upon months. He said, even the phone that I was using, I couldn't close a trade. The computer that I was using was a challenge computer. He has to close the trade by swiping. You know, when you swipe on the app, then you'll be able to find a way of closing the trade. He said it was tough. He locked himself up, and for months he was in there spending time with his calling. He wanted to change his story. He wanted to change his testimony, and he spent time for months. When he came out, he had grown beard. His hair was all bushy, but at that point, he has started, his screen has started looking blue, blue, green, blue, blue. He has started making profit. He said he spent tons of hours watching charts and videos and researching, seeking to understand. Listen, how much time do you invest into? What is the everything else that you must identify? Today, I want to challenge you. Sit back and identify your everything else which must go into the equation of worthlessness. Think about it. This may be one of the most powerful opportunities in your world, in your life, that you can sit back and identify. This friend is taking 5 hours of my time. That thing must change. It must change, because now I'm going to use 3 hours of that 5 hours to be able to spend time reading about accounting, or researching about IT, or researching about a particular topic of interest. I'm going to use 1 hour to pray, and to pray in a particular direction. And I've also discovered that I have a calling in the area of maybe music or the prophetic. I'm going to spend the next 1 hour learning new songs. Every week I'm going to learn one new song. I'm going to listen and listen again. I'm going to perfect my keyboard. And I've discovered that apart from the 5 hours, I literally spend maybe some 3 hours doing nothing. I just sit down doing nothing. Now these 3 hours, I'm going to spend 1.5 hours resting in the afternoon, and then the next 1.5 hours, now I'm going to spend it on the keyboard playing these tunes that I've heard. In 1 week, you would have achieved a lot. This guy spent time. When he came out, he showed his phone screen. He showed his laptop. I think he showed his laptop. When he came out, now he could buy a brand new phone. I want to challenge you. Nothing comes easy. Our calling and purposes will never be fulfilled. Listen to this scripture. Proverbs chapter 19. I'm mixing it. Let me pull it for you. It says, there are many devices in the heart of a man. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. My God. Why did I miss the scripture? Since you seek his will, no love, no hope. Somebody find that scripture for me. It's in Proverbs. Let me get it. Proverbs 19:21. I'm looking at. Okay, so I was looking at chapter 20. Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in the hearts, in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Now, one of the most powerful things on the earth today is purpose. The NIV says that the purpose of the Lord will stand. Purpose is the most powerful thing. And anytime you step into the environment of purpose, you have actually stepped into true warfare. And it is in that environment you can be protected. I don't want to spend too much. Verse 9. And Paul says, let me go back to verse 8. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else. Everybody, spend time, write down your everything else. Write down the distractions. Sometimes the distraction is scrolling through social media. You just spend time scrolling through social media. You scroll the whole day. I think, is it Facebook or YouTube? There's somewhere on Facebook. Where do you go? It tells you how many hours. Or one of my phones that I used to. I think this type of phone too may do that. It will tell you how many hours you have spent on Facebook. And just realize that the whole day I've spent 7 hours just scrolling. 7 hours scrolling. Discover your everything else. It says that for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. That is something you have to underline. I count it as garbage, so I could gain Christ. That is, if I do not count it as garbage, I have no opportunity to step into Christ. Let's bring it into the context of our conversation. If I do not count it as garbage, I have no opportunity to step and press into my calling. The verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him. Now he begins to emphasize where he's going. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He's now focusing on the call, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformed. Being conformed means shaped into the principles that define his dying at the cross. Being conformed to his death. Verse 11 and 12. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained. Look at the guy's attitude. He says, somehow, I don't know, that I will die and also resurrect. And I am telling myself here in this flesh, not that I have already obtained all this. Or have I been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13, brothers, and let me add sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I mean, what are you hearing? The guy is just on fire. It says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. One thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The call is an upward call. It's not a reversal and downward call. Verse 15. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Can we agree on these things? And let's put the principles out. Let me put the principles out quickly. Principle number one, verse 7. It says, I consider them worthless. If we are going to arrive at the heavenly call, we must consider some things worthless. We must consider some things as not important. Please. I remember when I became born again. Okay, no. So some years have passed. And around 1995, 1996. So many years have passed. Around 1995, 1996. No, first of all, when I became born again, not so long, then Lagos, two ships came to Ghana. The Lagos ship or something they call it. Came to Ghana. When Lagos 2 ship came, I was so passionate to go and visit the ship. And we were told that when you go, you can buy some books, you can buy some things. So when I went, I bought 3 books. I got money from my dad And when I went to the ship, I bought 3 books. One of those books I still keep today, and that is the book that shaped me. The title is I've forgotten the title. Something about the summit. Something about. No, I remember the title. The title is Victorious Christian Faith. That's the title. That is where I discovered this scripture. I discovered this scripture very, very young. Way back 1991. Victorious Christian Faith. Written by a guy called Alan Redpath or so. Alan Redpath. He challenged me. He has some titles in there. The way up is the way up is the way down. He has some titles in there. Journey to the summit. He has some titles in there, if I remember, the Victorious Christian Faith. And he began to use Paul in these verses to define what it means to be on the journey of faith. Our calling is a contention of our faith. Bible says contend for the faith. If we are able to showcase our calling, we showcase the glory of God. Each and every one of us is created and planted here by God to reveal a certain aspect of God. Your fulfillment of your calling reveals a certain dimension of God in the earth. If believers will understand this, it will change the way we do church. I'll not go to church because of what I'm getting. I'll go to church. In fact, let me put. I'll not go to church because of one miracle that I want. I will attend the church service because I know that the gathering of the church is a convocation of matters of destiny. That people of destinies are gathering to be instructed in their calling and their purposes. It is not one butter my bread, one sugar my cocoa. It is not me receiving one miracle or just that and I walk away. I heard somebody said, oh, as for me, I am just attending that meeting. I'm attending that meeting. Once I get my miracle, I am gone. Once I get my miracle, I am gone. Once I get my miracle, I am gone. I'll not be in that church again. And you realize that people don't understand why they attend the meeting of the ecclesia. Let me tell you, when I think I have to go back and teach on rediscovering the ecclesia. And if I should start that series here too, I tell you, we will go 1 year. Because the more we teach it, the more we discover. The ecclesia, which is the call out ones, it is the calling of a people out of the world who have discovered their purpose and destiny in Christ, who have come together to form an organic life, a life, a group of people, a family, a household of God, a bride of Christ that springs out of life, not out of death. And they are a people who are sitting, because the original ecclesia are a people who are sitting and deliberating about their nation. They carry capacity to make decisions on behalf of the emperor, the governor of the day. They had capacity to stop wars and start wars. They were accomplished people. Some of them were military generals. Some of them were accomplished, astute engineers. Some of them were accomplished, astute lawyers. Some of them were people who were very, very adept and have created impact in their society. They came together, and we are so blessed that Jesus Christ used a political term of the day, but in that Roman era, and apply it, says, and I will build my church, I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The issue of gates is leadership. Gate means leadership. Gate is the place of decision making. Gate is a place of declaration. In ancient times, at the gates, the elders sat and they made decisions concerning their society. And Jesus says that I will raise my ecclesia and the gates of Hades. Literally, Christ is saying that I'm raising a certain leadership company that will position themselves so powerfully and that the leadership of hell cannot overrule it. There's so much in that. The leadership of hell cannot overrule it. But today, we have now reduced ourselves to servants. We are no longer working in our citizenship. We are no longer working in our identity. We are no longer working in our capacities and our callings. And this is a pain, and we continue to hold back the purpose of God. We settle for the matters that are less. So I tell you the truth, I find it difficult teaching to certain people, because you realize that people generally just want, I so what we have reduced ourselves to is a me, give me, or we have become like early sons. And if God is not doing enough, we give God ultimatum. God, if you are not acting enough, I will take my own decision. You are too slow. You are not acting quickly. Me, I. And if you should go to heaven and you are listening to prayers, you will be hearing me. But there is only a few company of people who will go to God and say, God, show me what is the next thing that we must execute. What is the next strategic decision that we must make in this earth that will propel your counsel and your purpose forward? Matters of purpose and destiny is powerful than the food of our lips, the food of our mouth, the thing that goes into our stomach. We have reduced ourselves to just a people that is just looking for what to eat, when we are supposed to become the miracle in itself. As a result, let me say this. What we teach is informed by our mindset, the things that we consider as worthy. So we do not have the teaching that produces the church that is territorial. We do not have the capacity, the set of teachings that produces a certain kind of people in the earth. As a result, we do not have leaders and pastors that can speak to engineers in their churches and speak to the matters of values and speak to the matters of transformation. As a result, we produce national leaders who only go out there to chase their own stomach direction agenda. As a result, we cannot call out national leaders who belong to our communities and bring them to order and say, you are making wrong decisions. This is a family. This is an ecclesia. This is a call out once. You did not sit among us and became a leader of a nation or a company simply because of your own satisfaction. There is a greater purpose and agenda for which you must live for. It's difficult to teach certain people. It's difficult to teach certain places. It's difficult to teach certain messages. It's difficult to accept certain appointments. Difficult. We have reduced this Christianity to our national type of religions. And the another saddest aspect is that we so serve idols that when we go into the gathering of the saints and we do not get idolatry emblems, we feel disempowered. We feel robbed. We feel we are not anointed enough. We cannot live and apply the word of God and speak the word of God for things to manifest. We cannot stand in our righteousness to correct evil. That's a very big statement I made. Bible says that you heap when you do good to the one that hates you, you heap coals of fire. We cannot stand in our righteousness to correct evil. We cannot speak truth to power, because we do not have the mercy that speaks truth to power. Let me not go into certain areas. Principle number one. If you and I will fulfill our calling, we have to calculate loss. Calculate loss. Calculate loss. Calculate loss. Paul says, I consider them worthless. The verse 7. The word is hegemai. I have a certain mindset. The word hegemai means to identify and add up status. To identify and add up identity, learning, achievements, earthly worth. Deliberately view them against the reality of God. Deliberately view all these things against the reality of your calling. And finally and decisively consider them, reckon them as rubbish. If you are going to fulfill your call, there are some things you have to do away with. You have to sit back and ask yourself. The Bible talks in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. It says that you have to do away with the sin that so easily beset you. A besetting sin is the thing you continue to return to every now and then. You have to stand strong and fight it and battle it and push it back. Philippians chapter 3, the verses 5 and 7. I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. Paul was bragging about his status. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience of the Jewish law. But what do? The verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them, I have evaluated them. You know, that word consider is a mathematical and accounting term. You evaluate, you carry, you add up, you check it against another, you put it on a scale, and you realize that when you put all your status, all the everything else, and I'm sure by now, are you identifying some everything else? Are you identifying some everything else? Are you sitting back and tell, okay, so this thing I need to, and I'm sure as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is actually pointing one or two things to you, that this thing, you need to look at it. That thing you need to pay attention to it. If I were you, I will write them down, I will note them, and I'll go after them. Months, days, and weeks, I will come out so strong. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. To calculate loss means to the destruction of the source of self-life. You have to destroy the source of self-life as it relays and draws life from the earth. You see, this self thing that we identify, the everything else, that what your everything else may not be my everything else. As I am talking, I am identifying my everything else. Somebody's everything else is just pure laziness. Somebody's everything else is laziness of the mind. You know, the laziness of the mind is not lying down and sleeping, but we cannot take a thought for an idea and pull the idea through a process until we begin to get into execution and to get that idea to begin to produce result. It's laziness. It's pure laziness. It is not when somebody is only lying down and is not doing anything. Lying down and not doing anything is also, it also can be laziness. So somebody's own can be laziness. You have lofty plans and lofty ideas, but you are never able to arrive at it. There has to be a time when you begin to engage the idea, when you say, every day I'm going to spend 1 hour engaging this idea. Every day I'm going to spend 1 hour praying concerning this calling, this ministry that God has given me. Every day I will pray. I will pray just 1 hour, and I will pray and reach out. Every day I will spend 30 minutes listening and watching videos concerning this. Every day, like the guy who went into Forex. My God. One guy said, for 3 years, I have been blowing accounts. 3 years I've been blowing accounts. But after this, said, what I'm telling you, they are things that I learned out of experience. Painful moments. Moments I was discouraged. But after I discovered them today, I can tell I'm a profitable trader. You have to get into the discipline. To calculate loss means exchange your worlds. Move from one world. Paul says that I was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, but for what Christ have done, I've now moved into a new kingdom. I said that earlier. It's a change of positioning. Count as garbage so that I can get Christ. There has to be mutual exclusivity. You can't eat your cake and have it. Footballer, you have hung your boot in the bedroom. You can never be a successful footballer. We have to begin to engage. Calculate loss means that you make a movement back to your original divine arrangement and assignment. You are going to identify and make a movement back to your original assignment. Your original assignment. Your original arrangements. Your original arrangements. Let me jump. I want to get into something. I want to get into something quickly. I want to get into some principles quickly. So I'm leaving everything else. If not, we cannot. I want to talk about, secondly, the principle of being found in the mold of your call. Paul talks in the verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed. You have to conform to the call. Haggai, in the book of Haggai, I think it's Haggai chapter 1, somewhere the verse 13, the verse 14, it says that I am the lost messenger in the lost message. Can I say that? Judge, why are you smiling? It says, I am the lost messenger in the Lord's message. There cannot be separation between your calling and yourself. You have to dream it. You have to talk it. You have to sing it. You have to become passionate about it. It has to consume your mind and everything. Let me go to the next one. In fact, on that principle, when you read the NIV, it says, becoming like him in his death. Become like your call. The New Living Translation says, sharing in his death. Share in the process and the power of your call. To become the exact nature of what you are pursuing. So that if this content of the originality is poured into you, it is the same shape, the same capacity, the same volume, and all. I want to go after something and then I'll stop. I want to go after something and I'll stop. So that next week, we will take up and go back and now begin to look at the nature of the call. The issue of receptivity, the issue of command, the issue of process, and all of that. So let me just go after something. Now, I want to go after this. There has to be an attitude in us, ministerial attitude in us, that makes us strain forward towards the heavenly or the upward call. There is a price for which we have been called. Philippians chapter 3, the verse 13 through 14. It says, one thing I do. Everybody say, one thing I do. Oh, come on, I can't hear you. Say, one thing I do. It says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You have to embrace this principle. Paul says in the verse 13 and 14, he says, one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. 14, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What must you do? What must you do? I'm going to give you a very simple principle. Yeah. What can you do? Three things you should forget about. Or two things. Or four things. Okay, let's start it and see how many it will come to. Number one, it's important that you have to learn to put the successes of today and yesterday behind you and reach out for the new day. Very often what the successes of yesterday will do to you is to make you feel, I have arrived. No more do I need to achieve anything beyond this. Complacency. Complacency. You went out, you went doing your business. Today you made some $10,000 and it's the first time you are making $10,000. You came home and you promised yourself, tomorrow I'm not going. No. Oh, this $10,000 I've made, that is the end. I will not work again. You are not thinking far. You have to be thinking far. Somebody says, I cannot think far. But this one, we have to think far. There has to be some thinking far. There has to be in us a passion to reach to the next level. Forget about the successes of yesterday because they can get into your head. The devil can use it to cause it to get into your head so you rest today and not move to the next level. Number two, forget about the mistakes of yesterday. Forget about the mistakes of yesterday. Because one of the things the mistakes of yesterday will do to you is to discourage you. They will discourage you. They will discourage you. How did I discover these things? I discovered them way back in 1991. Victorious Christian Faith. Were you defeated yesterday? The sins of yesterday, forget about them. So long as you have gone before God, engage heaven, and ask for forgiveness, forget about them. Because the devil will raise them to put condemnation in your heart. Did you make mistakes yesterday? Do everybody make mistakes? Do apostles make mistakes? Do prophets make mistakes? Yes. The other day I saw a video of one of my friends was having live broadcast. And it says, mistakes that he has made in ministry. And one of the mistakes was that he beat somebody very well in ministry. And he wants to be on live broadcast and apologize to the person. He is very sorry. That when he was young, he didn't know youthful distance, so he beat the person very well. And when he finished, he gave him money to pick transport and go home. Forget about the mistakes of the past. Because the devil will cause them to get at you, and you can never lift yourself. He will bury you. He will bury you. And set your focus and reach out for the great chase. What Paul was saying in a nutshell, I'm going to conclude. Paul is like a man who was screaming out and shouting, "Hey, my purpose." By this time, by this ministerial attitude, Paul was shouting, "Hey, my purpose, I'm coming after you. I'm reaching out for you. I'm not leaving any stone unturned until I arrive there." I want to say God bless you. This is what I brought to you this morning. God bless you. I trust it's been good. I trust it's been well. I trust you've been blessed.
Beautiful. 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 Let's just take our offering quickly. And let's take this announcement. While we're taking the offering, let's be having this announcement as well. While we're taking the offerings, let's be having this announcement as well. Let's have this announcement as well. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We offer to you our gifts. We offer to you our tokens. We ask that let it be accepted. Let it bring you honor. Let it bring you glory. Lord, we ask that everybody that is sowing and giving to this work, Lord, bless them and show yourself strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you offer what you have, what you have prepared for the Lord. And while we do this, let's listen to this announcement. Now, coming Saturday is on the 4th of November. This coming Saturday is on the 4th of November. And we have Open Heavens meeting. The flyers are already out. The flyer is already out. I want to encourage you, post the flyer on your status, share it, and let it be a blessing to people. No, there's something that I cannot understand. I found out that sometimes, and there have been people among us, they will attend services, they will receive blessings. Not even one day will they post the flyer on their Facebook page. Have you not observed that? You know, you at least once I've mentioned this, somebody comes to mind. And I have wondered, is it that this person does not want somebody to know, or they don't want somebody to know they are connected here? I shock self. No, it's true. But the person will post other things, and even post another church, another man of God, but never from this place. What do you take us for? Eh? So please, let's all post. Let's all share the flyer. Invite somebody to be part of this meeting. Because God has been so good. I shared with you last week the testimonies that I've heard. And there is so much more testimonies that people are sharing. So God bless you. So, Abed, you're not putting the flyer up. Open Heavens meeting. Open Heavens meeting. When you see the flyer online, please share it. Those of us online, share it. Let it bless somebody. Let somebody be connected to it. And for those who are outside Ghana, we definitely will make the Zoom link available also for you to be able to connect. In fact, this one is only for those who are far away from Ghana, or somebody who is in some village in Afram Plains who cannot make it. We will share the Zoom link and you'll be part of this meeting. Open Heavens meeting has been such a blessing. We also want to announce we are looking for a new place. We are looking for a new place. We need to relocate by the end of May, by June next year. You know, usually when I'm renting places, like even home to live and all of that, I don't like moving in a rainy season. I want to see the place when it is raining. Then I make my decision after that. But as it will be, by June, we have to be out of this environment. So we are looking for a new place. So if you have some wonderful place and you want to connect us to, I'll be so happy. In fact, not just me, we will be so happy to connect to that, so that we can continue to serve God in that capacity. We can continue to serve God from that place. Then also, every Thursday we have weekly online Bible study.
We have weekly online Bible study.